The scripture today is a little bit different. It is a reimagined narrative by Reverend Dr. Karen Georgia Thompson, who was with us last year in our 175th celebration. You'll notice on the screen, I will read the first part, then there will be a bold part that's your responsibility, and we'll go back and forth. Creator God, our voices cry to you across the waters, singing songs of freedom and courage, shouting to be in line with the earth and all of you have created, crying aloud to you, the rock of our salvation. God of our ancestors, you were with them when they were taken. Gods of many names stayed with your people. You stayed present with them through the middle passage. Your hand guided them into an unknown land. You reminded them of their worth and their place in you. Creator God, our voices cry out to you across the waters, from millions being forced from their homes today. Refugees, asylum seekers, and migrant workers are at risk of being trafficked and sold because their homes are no longer safe. We cry out for children lost along the way. Oh, come, let us sing of praise and lament to God, our mother. Let us make a joyful noise for her love, support, and care. Let us cry and lament as we wait for justice. She can do today what she did for our ancestors of yesterday. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You know, every so often we have an error in the bulletin. And so I thought it was important to show you that we are not alone. We are not the only church that sometimes has errors in the bulletin. And so these are actual bulletin announcements that appeared in a church bulletin. And I think after you hear some of these, you're going to be really happy that we do not make mistakes on these levels. Coming up, Theological Open House. We discuss thought-provoking topics. Your opinions are hardly welcome. All singles are invited to join us Friday at 7 p.m. for the annual Christmas Sing Alone. Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. The rosebud on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Belzer, the son of Reverend and Mrs. Julius Belzer. See what I mean? Thursday at 5 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All wishing to become Little Mothers, please see the minister in his study. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. The sermon this morning, Jesus Walks on the Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. I used those because there was absolutely no joke I could find to connect with the sermon today, and it's probably good because it's really not a joking matter. Today, many UCC churches will celebrate Amistad Sunday, and I'm just curious, how many of you know the story of La Amistad or have at least heard of it? Good. Oh, good. Well, the 1839 event is a part of our history of the United Church of Christ. You know, in our history, like all denominations, there are some praiseworthy things that we lift up when we were being the servants of God, and there are other times when you think, oh my gosh, how did we ever get involved with that? That was not social justice. So the Amistad Act, or the Amistad event, is one of the things I think we can be proud of. Now, a little background. The act prohibiting the importation of slaves took effect in 1808, and basically slave ships could not travel like from Africa straight to America with slaves. And so, you know, there's always a way around the law. To circumvent this law, slave traders would go to Africa and kidnap and capture Africans, and then they would transport them to a country like Cuba or Puerto Rico and sell them there and take them to America by a different ship because they'd already been sold and they would be taken on to America and their new owners. Well, in 1839, 53 kidnapped and enslaved people from the Mende tribe in Sierra Leone were taken to Havana aboard the Portuguese ship Tacora, where they were given anglicized or Spanish names. Then they were loaded onto the ship La Amistad, which ironically means friendship. And it was owned by two Spanish merchants living in Cuba, and they were going to be transported to Puerto Rico, where they would be sold before taking them on to America. Now, that was a trip that normally took 4 days. And at some point during the journey, the cook, thinking he was such a funny guy, decided to tell the shackled captives that the crew would be eating them. Nice guy. And on July 2nd, 1839, one of the captives, 26-year-old Singbe Pia, also known as Joseph Sinke, managed to, with his fingers, pull a loose nail out of the hull of the ship in the hold where they were being held captive. It's a story that screams Hollywood. But he pulled it out and he was able to unlock his shackles. And then he freed the other prisoners. And they searched the ship's hold for any weapons they could utilize and found a crate of sugarcane knives, which, if you've ever seen them, it's like a sharp machete. And at about 4 a.m, they stormed the upper deck of La Amistad, killing most of the crew, including the captain. But two crew members were allowed to live, and they ordered them to take them back to Africa. Now, they knew that on their way, on their journey, they had sailed away from the sun. So they had the Spanish sailors to sail towards the sun, which they did during the daylight. However, they turned the ship west at night and basically zigzagged up the coast of the United States. And this continued for almost 60 days. Now remember, they only had supplies for a four-day journey. And so as they zigzagged along the Atlantic coastline, sometimes they passed very close to other ships, and rumors began to circulate about a ghost ship that had been seen off the coast. And on August 26, 1839, the USS Washington spotted the boat off the coast of Long Island. And they boarded and found 43 of the captives still alive, many of them emaciated, malnourished, and a number of them dead because of that. They also discovered the two imprisoned members of the original crew, who immediately claimed the enslaved Africans on board were their property. And they were all taken ashore in New London, Connecticut, where leading New England Christian abolitionists became involved, publicizing the event and the incident to expose the evils of slavery. And again, it's an amazing story. In order to communicate with the captives who spoke neither English or Spanish, they had them count to 10, and one law clerk learned how to count to 10 in Mende. And he went down to the docks in New London and just started counting loudly in Mende, until he found someone who recognized the language and could serve as a translator. Again, does this not have Hollywood movie written all over it? And when the Africans could finally tell their story, it became obvious that they had been taken against their will and were a free people. Now, within 2 weeks of their arrival, the abolitionists, mostly Congregationalists, which are part of our UCC history, that's one of the streams that came together to become the United Church of Christ, and Presbyterians, had organized the Amistad Committee under the leadership of abolitionist Lewis Tappan, which raised funds to feed and clothe the Mende prisoners and pay for their defense in court, claiming that the captives were not guilty of mutiny and murder, but rather kidnapped persons who were simply trying to save their lives. Now remember, the slave trade had been outlawed in 1808, but not the institution of slavery. So technically the Spanish were breaking the law, but it still had to go to court to decide if the Mende people would be freed or returned to slavery. And the case became national news, with people all over the country wanting to find out what was happening. Then President Martin Van Buren wanted the prisoners to be sent out of the country back to enslavement in Cuba, in order to silence the controversy. Re-election was coming up. This was not going to sit well with the voters in the South. So he just wanted to get them out of there. Well, when the case was first heard in Hartford, Connecticut, in late 1839, the judge ruled the Africans were acting in self-defense and should be given their freedom and returned to Africa. But Van Buren challenged the judgment and asked for an appeal to the circuit court, who upheld the decision. So it moved forward to the Supreme Court. Now, at the time, there were only 5 justices on the Supreme Court, and all of them were slave owners. So it didn't look very promising for Singh Bay and the captives. And the trial centered around international law, states' rights, the legality of slavery in individual states, among other things. It was very complicated. For example, the refugees were captured in New York, which was a free state. Slave owners then pushed for the trial to be held in Connecticut, which, while not a slave state, still recognized slave owners' property rights. And then there was the question of ownership. of the slaves. The two Spanish plantation owners in Cuba, Jose Ruiz and Pedro Montes, claimed ownership. The Spanish government got involved and claimed that the ship and the captives belonged to them, citing a treaty between our two nations. And then the ship Washington that seized the Amistad was commanded by Lieutenant Thomas R. Gedney. And in maritime law, compensation is allowed to persons whose assistance saves a ship or its cargo from impending loss. Lieutenant Gedney claimed that it was with great difficulty and danger that he and his crew were able to recapture the Amistad from the Africans. They claimed they had not seized the vessel, it would have been a total loss to the rightful owners. Gedney and his crew believed they were entitled to salvage rights for the full $65,000. And at that time in U.S. history, even individuals acting in their official capacity as officials of the government were entitled to salvage rights. So it's getting pretty complicated. And this turned into an almost three-year struggle and ordeal before it reached the Supreme Court. And the case centered on this. This is a part of a mural. And on the one side is a depiction of Singh Bay and being accused. The case centered on natural rights, which were rights promised to everyone simply by being born human. The rights written into the Declaration of Independence. And former U.S. President John Quincy Adams, who was quite elderly at the time and hadn't been in a courtroom for 30 years, defended the captives before the Supreme Court. His powerful defense of humanity, where he pointed out that the freedom of 39 lives depended on the decision, set an important historical precedent. And in 1841, the Supreme Court agreed with the lower court decisions, and the Mende captives were ordered freed. However, the U.S. government, under new President John Tyler, Van Buren lost the election, they would not provide a ship to return them to their homeland. So the Amistad Committee organized abolitionists and raised the money necessary for their passage home. And on November 25, 1841, they set sail for Sierra Leone, accompanied by several missionaries. 5 years later, the Amistad Committee became the American Missionary Association, founded largely by the congregational side of our denominational history. And the AMA has been such part of our UCC history. Shortly after they formed, this group switched their attention to educating Southern blacks before, during, and after the Civil War. They built hundreds of elementary and high schools. And after 1850, they founded 9 historically black colleges and universities. They also built many black churches. If a church in the South is named First Congregational and was founded during Reconstruction, it is generally a predominantly black church and was started by AMA. I think that's a history to be very proud of. And in 1999, a recreation of the Amistad ship was built in Mystic, Connecticut, and launched in 2000, and the United Church of Christ played a great part in that. Since then, the Amistad has been used as a floating classroom to teach students and adults around the world about this important story and continue its mission to advance racial and social justice today. And I'm very proud to say that I had an opportunity to tour the ship and board it when it was in at Navy Pier in Chicago a number of years ago. And it it left quite an impression on me. Our UCC history is filled with such stories of brave people confronting something that was wrong and fighting for social justice and trying to do what they believed that Jesus taught them to do. May we be so brave today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.